Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our awesome guest is Artyom Dashinsky, author of Solving Product Design Exercises and the founder of Swagfair. We're going to talk about product design exercises today and get you ready for that UI UX interview. This show is brought to you by UserList, the best way for SaaS founders to send onboarding emails, segment your users based on events, and see where your customers get stuck in the product. Start your free trial today at userlist.com. Hi, Artyom.
Hi, Jane. Thank you very much for having me.
We are very excited. You're such a hands-on person who has been teaching other designers online practical stuff, super practical stuff. So let's talk that stuff today.
Let's do it.
Tell us what your background story looks like and what you're up for, because your product portfolio has like 20 items in it and you've been doing different things online for ages.
Yes, this is true. So I was born in Belarus, and I actually was USSR back then. And then a year later, it fell apart and became Belarus. And my both parents are trained industrial designers. And basically, when the USSR fell apart, there was no industry anymore. So there was nothing to design. So what they did is switch to graphic design. And I had this chance to see them doing graphic design and doing basically to see this basics of design of what is composition, what is fonts, what is how space is used on a canvas. So I kind of grasped it from the early age. And what happened back then is that when USSR fell apart, there was no really not that many opportunities. So my parents were one of the industries that was actually tragically successful was an alcohol industry. So my parents were working a lot on everything that had to do with labels and packaging and advertising for beers, for wines, for stuff like that. So basically, I learned the design from them. I didn't really go to university or a college or anything like that. So I think that was like my pivotal kind of point that set me up to become a designer. And I think the second one was when I was in school, I moved to Israel. And Israel is the second biggest and most important hub in the world after the Silicon Valley from the startups perspective. So this is the number one place in the world for amount of capital that is invested in startups per capita. This is, I think, the third country in the world after US and China of tech companies on NASDAQ. I think this is the first country in the world by engineers per capita and so on. So I think this kind of like connection of looking at the parents designing labels for beers and wines, and then being in this environment of innovation and technology in Israel, kind of like created this connection of being a designer in tech, which I did. Yeah, so that basically were, I think, two pivotal things that connected together and brought me to be a UX and product designer working for startups, for tech companies. So I worked as a full-time employee, as a freelancer, as a consultant, had a small agency. And in the last 3 years, I switched to work on my own products.
Tell us a bit more about the products you currently run. So you have Swagfair. I always have problems pronouncing the word swag. Not sure how to get it right.
Well, it's just be as American as you can. Swag.
Swagfair. Okay, great.
So Swagfair is something that I saw during my career in tech. I saw that you go to any tech conference or you go to any tech company and you see the same branded products that they give away to their employees, to their like meetups participants and so on. It's always the same products and they always bought from the same vendors. And as a result, they're not really reaching any goals. So the goal of the branded swag is to increase your employee satisfaction or to engage with your conference participants or to engage with your investors or community and so on. So when you give a person another aluminum water bottle, and they already have three of them from their previous employer, from their current employer, from the conference, it's not really helping the company. And it's also not helping the person who is receiving the gift. And it's also super wasteful for the environment. So what I do, I'm trying to solve this problem and help companies to find more unique and more sustainable branded swag. So what I build is a marketplace for branded swag that is produced by small businesses and mostly in Europe. So this is Swagfair. This is what I'm working mostly on right now.
Let's go back to the topic of product design exercises. That was your first book, and you also have a newsletter. So is it chicken or the egg? What came first? And how did you decide on making this topic your theme for the book and everything? Is that because you've been hiring designers? Is that because you've been in the job interview position? Why did you think the topic would resonate with people? Well, of course, it's obviously very practical, but still got to ask.
So I'll reveal a secret. My goal was to help designers to be less over-obsessed over visuals, but I knew that if I'll write a book about how business-oriented mindset is important for designers, nobody would read it. So what I did, I wrote a book that helps designers to get to prepare for job interviews, because at job interviews, these skills are actually tested at the best tech companies. And I knew that if I'll write a book that prepares for them for job interviews, everybody will read it. So this is kind of like my sneaky way to teach designers a very important skill that will also important, of course, for the job interview, but more important actually for their job, and will also help them and the companies to create products that are better and basically better for the world. So that's like in short, but the background is that, as I mentioned, I used to work for WeWork, and I joined as a first employee the new R&D center that opened in Israel. And one of my tasks was to find designers to our R&D center. I didn't really hire new designers before, so I was just thinking, well, I will just write a book about it. I will just Google for. I knew that there is a book that exists for developers that is called How to Crack the Code Interview. And from the same author, there is a book that is called How to Crack the PM Interview. So I thought, well, I'll just Google how to crack the design interview, and I'll just learn how this hiring process works. And there was nothing about it. There was no information about it. There was no books, or like there were some Medium articles, but nothing that I could really rely on. So then I started basically to develop this way how to hire designers, this process. Obviously, I also had these benchmarks of hiring process that we had in New York in the headquarters. So I used that as well. So this is like the one part. The second part is once I actually started interviewing designers, I realized that designers who are coming to the interview, they're really not doing any preparations at all. And they're also not really sure what is coming. Like they're not sure what will be the process, and they're not sure how to approach this testing exercise that we were giving them. So these two things connected together and realized, well, there should be some kind of like a standard or some kind of like language between the organizations that don't know always how to hire effectively and how to test designers, and also something for designers to prepare and to have some expectations and some understanding of what is expecting from them on the interview and how to prepare properly for the interview. So I tried to connect these two sides together and to create this kind of like common language and kind of like a standard for hiring product designers.
Where do you source actual exercises? Are these available online? Do companies actually post the exercises they use?
So that was in some way the MVP of my book. What I did, I realized there is no enough information about it. So what I did, I open sourced the list of the exercises that we at WeWork were giving to candidates. And I posted it on Medium. And then I saw that so many people actually find it very useful. And they used it to to practice. They used it to create concepts for their portfolio. And many of them reached out and they said, that's great. I find it useful, but I don't know how to solve this type of exercise. Like, where do I start even? So that was the how I knew that there is a demand for that and people want that. And the actual exercises, so as I said, the beginning was the exercise that we used at WeWork. And later on, I did research of talking to other people, to other also managers and also designers who went through like through job process of applying to design positions at tech companies. And so I took this exercise from real companies, most of them. Some of them are more like something that I came up with, but most of them, even those that I came up with, they're based on the concepts that exist for that exist in real companies and used by real companies in the hiring process. So the exercise that I use in the book and also in my newsletter are mostly based on the real exercise that are given by companies like Google, Facebook. Facebook not, because they're using actually different approach. They're using not exercise but design critique. So by Google, Amazon, WeWork, and so on.
So what kind of exercises, what types of exercises are there? Is it usually just one thing, design something, and then you can apply the whole range of different skills, or are there more narrow specific exercise types?
So it really depends on what the company wants to test. So when you see a candidate and you more confident about their visual skills, you will give one type of exercise. When you're more confident about their UX skills or like product and business oriented skills, then you will give another type of exercise. So you normally want to test something that you're less confident the candidate to have. So then you have this range of exercise from very conceptual, for example, design an ATM machine for kids or redesign the New York City Metro card system. So this type of exercise, for example, you will give to someone that you're not really sure about their UX skills, more like product thinking. And this range on the other side is defined by like visual oriented tasks. So if you see that the person, for example, comes from the background of, for example, someone who used to be a product manager and shift to UX design, so you would want to test more of the visual of the UI skills. So in this case, you would give an exercise as design a landing page for a physical product that costs more than $200, for example. This is the exact exercise that we're giving to our candidates at WeWork. Or for example, you could give them a task that says LinkedIn decided to build a marketplace for freelancers and design a flow for hiring a professional on this new marketplace. So this is more about like the building the UI, building flows, and this range from more conceptual tasks to visual-oriented tasks also has different contexts in which this exercise will be used. So, for example, if it's more conceptual, you can be asked to perform it in live as a whiteboarding exercise. So, for example, you'll be invited to this interview. You will get into the room and you will be given this exercise. For example, design an ATM machine UI, and then you just start solving it on the whiteboarding live and explaining your decisions step by step.
This is really bad from a designer. This is like agony for a designer, isn't it?
Exactly. This is something that would probably more appropriate for more senior positions and even like maybe manager positions, because this is really hard. Like to do that even with the people that you know is quite challenging, but with people that you met first time or second time in your life, you also like under this pressure, and you also after this time pressure, it is quite stressful. So this is basically like the most advanced type of exercise. The second one is on-site exercise, but you're given time to solve it by yourself. So you're getting into the room, you're given an exercise, for example, design an experience for finding an ideal roommate in your city. And then you have 1 hour to come up with a solution, to put it on the whiteboard or like sketch something on a paper. And then after this hour, you will just present your solution in like 10, 15 minutes. to the hiring managers. So this is a little bit more forgiving and a little bit more like less stressful situation. And the third one is a take-home exercise. So these ones are more likely to test also your UI skills, where you actually need more. First of all, you need a computer for that. But second, you also need a little bit more time for that. So in this case, you would be normally tasked with or like asked to spend between 4 and 8 hours on this exercise, and you will be given like, I don't know, 2-3 days or a week to prepare it.
From your experience, this is sort of a detour question. Are these paid exercises, or is it usually expected to do some volume of work for free?
Yeah, so there is a lot of discussion about these exercises, and this concept of exercise, it's not necessarily, there's not like one way to do them correctly, or like this concept of what I present in the book. I'm not saying, well, you definitely should do like take home exercise and like let people spend, you know, like 8 hours of their work on the exercise. It is more the concept of like this type of exercise and how, and testing how people approach them and checking their thinking process. So for example, at Facebook, they do something that is called design critique. So there you are asked to pick, I mean, maybe it changed, but from what I know, you're asked to pick an app on your phone, for example, and do a design critique of the product. So this is something that you do live, and this is not something that you have to spend a lot of time on. But the concept and the structure and the framework that I suggest in my book is like you can apply it also on the design critique, also on take-home exercise, on on-site exercise, on live whiteboarding, or even when you present your portfolio, because in some companies, this is the main test to see your skills and to see if you are appropriate for this job, is to present your portfolio. So this framework that I offer in my book, that I suggest in my book, is you can apply it to any of this. So it's more conceptual and not necessarily like, well, every company should do like take home exercise, or every company should do live whiteboarding. So like specifically to a question, from my experience, it is obviously not paid exercise. Like if you're given a take home exercise, it's very rare that companies are actually paying for that.
I'm glad that you touched on the topic of portfolios. So you mentioned before that your readers use exercises from your book to build their portfolios to further apply for different positions. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily recommending to do exercises for your portfolio. This is something you can do that I think this is very useful for actually practicing. You can also put it in your portfolio, but I actually think that the best thing you can do for a portfolio is to build your own thing. So if you're like a junior designer and you're starting, I think the best thing you can do is to build your own thing, build a side project, like basically find a friend, find someone who is a developer or like mobile developer or web developer, whatever, and build something with them. Like you will get the experience that will be much more useful than actually doing some concepts for a portfolio. So this is my advice for designers who are starting and need something for their portfolio, is to build your own projects. You will also get the experience, but you will also look more professional, more experienced in the eyes of hiring managers. They will see something that actually shipped. If there is a project that was actually shipped and I can see and I can try and I can use this product as a hiring manager, I give it much more importance than if you have like conceptual tasks that you used in your portfolio.
Absolutely. And you also get to, if you try to sell it, you instantly get a sandbox for practicing business skills and marketing and everything else that is a great addition to any design talent.
Exactly. And it's something that it will just make you a better designer. You will learn all of the things that around design, how important they are, how to communicate your design decisions and your solutions to someone who is not a designer, which is actually, I don't think it's taught in a design school or in the courses. Like in the design school, you mostly communicate with other designers. So they have a very different mindset and understanding than, for example, software developers with whom you will work a lot if you work in a tech company. Yeah, and you will learn other skills that will be super useful, like handling feedback and communicating your solutions and thinking about your audience, about the problems you're trying to solve, about the context of your users, everything that you conceptually would think. But when you actually build a real product, it's much more powerful.
Give us your top three favorite product design exercises.
So, I mean, there is no right or wrong. There is no favorites. I think that...
Okay, three examples, also great.
Yeah, so examples, I think that... So there are some of the examples that I gave earlier, which is designing an ATM machine. So this is, for example, quite open challenge. So you can take it to very different places. So it's quite good. Like, it's a very flexible exercise that you can give to people. And even if you want to test like very conceptual, like product thinking, or if you want to test UI skills, it works for both. Because if you want to redesign the ATM, you can take it like to redefining and reimagining the whole financial system, or you can just redesign the actual UI of the ATM machine. So this is one. Let me think of others. I will actually open the book and tell you, because at the end of the book, basically, I have like a collection of the all the exercises that I mentioned in the book. And also, so another one that is quite good is build a desktop app dashboard for a doctor, for a general practitioner doctor. So you can build basically an app that helps them to manage their appointments and follow-ups, and how they communicate with patients, with their other staff in their own clinic, or even like if they send you to do, I don't know, like a blood test, how all of these different things come together to this one dashboard. Let's see. So there's also exercise that asks about specific products. So for example, one of the exercises is pick an underserved audience by Spotify and suggest how you could improve their offering to this group. So in this case, for example, you can think of very different people or very different type of people who are using Spotify. So you can think about boomers who are like more likely to live in suburbs and commute to the city. And actually, if they use Spotify, they're more likely, you know, like to use it in a car, for example. So they're more likely to use podcasts or audiobooks or like something they're listening to that is not music. And you can create, you could create basically experience of commuting during when you listen to Spotify. So you would probably have a UI that has bigger buttons when you listen to when Spotify knows that you're commuting. They would show a bigger UI with higher contrast that will be more likely to be seen, like to be visually better legible when. In different weather conditions, for example, with a very bright sun, and you would also try to create UI that requires as less as possible involvement and of actually looking at them at the screen. So you would enhance probably like the voice features and so on. Or you could take like the kind of like the complete other opposite of age group, for example, and say we have parents that using Spotify, and we want to make Spotify more approachable to their kids. So, for example, bad stories or some like educational material for kids. So you can also create like a whole different experience for parents that would use Spotify to educate their kids or to entertain them, and so on.
Sometimes the exercise has all the details that is necessary. So, and sometimes it will be kind of open-ended, so it will test your skill of asking the right questions. And there is like the third type of exercise, which is super meta and has like Easter egg thing in it. So it's not the actual exercise that's judged, but a specific feature or something like, you know, as bad as they will give you coffee in a cup and then they watch if you wash the cup afterwards and stuff like that. and then they don't care about the rest, which, I mean, HR does go to ridiculous lengths. Are you a fan of personally open-ended exercises or more explicit assignments?
Yeah, I think it really depends on your goals. So you need to understand what you're trying to achieve. I mean, this is same as in design, also in the hiring process. You want to define, okay, I'm not sure if this person has like UI skills that are appropriate to our position. So I want to check something that is more UI oriented. So open-ended questions is something that you obviously want to use when you want to see if person is like more, you know, narrow-minded and like, let's pick the right font right away and like not really thinking, okay, who am I building it for? Why am I building it? What is the context of the audience and so on? But I think like the a good point that you brought, that you mentioned, is that many of the exercises, they will actually have some of the answers inside. So for example, my framework is based on this concept that's called 5 W's and 1 H. So it is basically 5 questions that start with W and 1 question that starts with H. So it is why, who, when, and where, what, and how. So this concept, I didn't invent it. It is something that exists in other areas of other industries. So it is used in journalism. It is used even in police investigations for purposes of gathering information. So in every exercise, you basically want to answer these 5 W's and 1 H. So my framework is based on this concept. And in many exercises, you will actually have already some of the answers in them. So if you have this like why, who, when, and where, what, and how, and your exercise is design a dashboard for freelancers to manage their business. So for example, you already have the answer for who, because you designed it for freelancers, and you have already the what, you designing a dashboard for probably like a SaaS product. So I think answers, so in some way, the questions, the exercises, they're partially the answers that you need to give back. And they actually, like, if you listen to them carefully and you ask additional questions, you can actually minimize the amount of work that you need to do in order to determine. So for example, again, if we go back to this ATM machine redesign exercise, so you can ask your interviewer, am I supposed to, like, can I redesign the physical product as well, or only the UI? For example, you can ask, are we working on the ATM machines that are in a bank branch or those that are in a grocery stores? Because those also might have like different contexts and different needs and different functions that we will need to take into consideration. So I would suggest to also ask questions, because many times it will be very helpful for to actually solve the exercise, but also it will show that you're involving the person in front of you into your working process. So you're not just like, you know, receiving exercise and going silently to solve it. You're actually asking questions. You're trying to getting like to the bottom of this problem, to understand it better, to understand the audience, to understand the why we're building it, how is it actually helpful, the company, and in what context it will be used.
If it's necessary to test visual design skills, so that the designer is able to create visually attractive UIs, would you give them wireframes and ask to implement them as easy as that, or anything else?
Again, it really depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a designer that's what they will be doing, yeah, I would probably do that. But it's quite rare that you are looking for someone who will like take wireframes and only do the UI. I think that the shift that is happening is for designers to become more, you know, like full stack kind of designers, or to take more responsibility and to take like to basically move more to the direction of a product manager in some way. Like basically, if you're doing only UI design, you will be always pushed a little bit to do also the UX work. And it's quite rare to find someone who is doing only UI work. So honestly, from my experience, it's not happening that often, but your best exercise is a mini version of what the person will be asked to do in their real job. So if the person will actually do only UI work from the wireframes, there is no problem to give them only wireframes. But honestly, I didn't really hear a lot of people who are doing solely UI work.
And one of the final, but probably most important questions would be, do you give specific advice to designers on how to solve those exercises? Because it feels like we've been sort of taking the hiring manager part in our questions before, but you do have a special step-by-step framework for solving those, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is the book, you know, this is what the book is about. And it's mostly written for people who are candidates, not for managers, even though managers are using that to learn how to test efficiently the candidates. But most of the readers are actually people who are in the process of looking for a job as a UX, as a product designer in tech companies. So the framework is, as I mentioned, is based on this 5 W's and 1 H concept. But I took the basics of it and I made it more useful, more appropriate for UX, for design. So it is a 7-step framework and it consists of this. So let me just walk you through this framework. So the first step is the why, is to understand your goal. So this is where you want to start. You want to understand why is this product or feature that you're asked to create is important. What problem is it trying to solve? Like what impact does it have on the world? Or how does this product benefit customers? So sometimes you will also be asked to redesign an existing product. So in this case, you want to understand and to explain how does this new change extends the company's vision. So for example, if you ask to build if LinkedIn is building a freelance marketplace and you're asked to design this flow of hiring a new professional through LinkedIn, a freelancer, then you would probably say, well, LinkedIn is the biggest professional network in the world. And it's a great extension of its vision to basically create this connection between people who already exist on this platform and connect businesses who are looking for freelancers and freelancers who are looking for work. So the first step is to understand why, to understand your goal. The second step is to understand who, is to define your audience and to understand what are the categories of people who have significantly different motivations of using your product. So for example, if you are designing Spotify, so you will not only have listeners, you will also have artists and you will also have business owners, people who are actually like a coffee shop owner who wants to play Spotify in their business. So you could find these different groups by asking yourself what are different ages or genders or locations or occupations of the people who are using this product. So the second step is who, is to define your audience. The third one is when and where. So on this step, you want to understand the customer's context and their needs. So you want to ask yourself questions like where your users are physically located and what is the trigger that is causing the need that we're solving in our product? How much time do they have? Are they on a specific digital app or platform or device? What emotions do they experience? So for example, if you're designing app for navigation, for example, app for navigation when you're cycling. So in this case, you need to understand that, well, my user will prefer to look at their device as less as possible because they're cycling. So they want, from the security perspective, you want them, they don't want to look at their device because they want to focus on the road. So you also want to take into consideration that it might be raining. So they also would prefer to look at the device as less as possible. So then maybe the right solution is actually not building a mobile app, but to focus on the smartwatch app, for example. So this is the third step, is to understand the context of your users. The fourth one is to list the ideas of different products that you could build. So this is one of the kind of like tips for designers going through exercises, is to suggest different solutions, because there is never one single perfect solution for any of this type of exercise. There's always different options. And then it's also good for the final solution to evaluate different options, but also to show to your interviewer that you are taking into consideration different options and different product types and different ideas, product ideas. So if I go back to this example of like designing a navigation app for bicycles, for people who are like cycling, so it could be like a smartwatch app, it could be a mobile app, it could be even a physical product that you put on your steering wheel and then it shows you when you need to turn left or right. Or this is the fourth step, the what, where you want to list different ideas. And you could think here about different platforms, different types of products. So for example, is it physical or digital? Is it running on a smartphone or a tablet, desktop, maybe on a TV or VR headset? And what type of interfaces it will have, just a graphic interface or maybe audio or voice interface, maybe a virtual reality interface, and so on. So once you came up with these different ideas for products, for solutions, for the problem that you're trying to solve, you need to decide which one is the optimal one, with which one you want to move forward. So for these purposes, you want to use something that's called impact effort matrix. So you want to create this graph where one of the axes will be impact and the other one will be effort. And you want to put all of your ideas on this graph. And obviously you want to create something, to build something with the highest impact, but also take into consideration that how much effort will be put into building that. So for example, again, if I go back to this example of navigation app for people who cycle. So here the smartwatch app could be a good idea, but actually very few people have smartwatches. So it will have quite low impact if we build it. Or if we build a physical product that is installed on the steering wheel, it might have a really high effort because maybe we as a company, we only know how to create, we only have the expertise of building digital products. So building a physical product will be a huge effort for us. So it will not make sense to move forward with this type of ideas. So once you put this your ideas on this matrix, you will have an overview of the different options, and then you can take the optimal one. And again, it's also getting you to a better final solution, but also shows to your potential employer that you're mindful of how hard it is actually to build all the stuff that you will come up with, like how much development, engineering, business efforts will get into that. And it will get you more points if you will show that you're mindful of that. So this is the step number five. The step number six is actually what you learned in the design school, in the course, whatever. Like this is the actual design. Here you create the UI. You solve this problems that you defined. There are some techniques that I talk about, but I mean, this is basically what you were trained for. I cannot really teach in my book how to design things. There are people who did it much better. So this is where all the knowledge that you know, that you have until now about how design products go in. So there's like three quick techniques that I suggest in case that you feel stuck is a storyboarding, basically mapping out the customer's journey and like trying to get a picture of what interactions your product needs to support. The second technique is defining tasks. So you make a list of tasks that a person needs to, or like the user needs to be able to complete with your product to use it successfully. So if we go back to the example of people who are cycling, so it will be like putting destination in, understanding when you need to turn, changing the destination, getting notified about the fact that you arrived at the destination, and so on. And the third quick technique is a speedy sketching. This is like really when you feel stuck, you fold a sheet of paper in two and you basically try to come up with as quick as possible with four different solutions. And the idea of this technique is even if this idea doesn't make any sense, you just like, you put it on the paper and the idea is to put you under this like pressure of like coming up with ideas quickly and just putting them on the paper and then trying to adjust them and to make sense of them and to create something that is appropriate for your final solution. So that was the step number six, the actual solution. And the number seven, which is really important and many designers don't really give it much attention or importance, is the how, is measuring success, like how you measure the success of the solution. How do you know that the solution that you came up with is actually successful? So here you would, it would give you much, it would give you a lot of points, like bonus points, if you will suggest what are the KPIs, what are the metrics that we can measure in order to understand that our design was successful. So you can measure, for example, like the task success rate or task completion time, the engagement rates, the retention, or like the revenue that this new product or new feature brought into the company, the conversion rates, net promoter score, and so on. So those are the seven steps. In the book, I basically explain much in depth on about each of the steps. And also there is five fully solved exercises that I run through this framework and explain, basically simulate a solution of this exercise using this framework.
This is amazing because an exercise in itself, it's almost like a whole business problem or even whole business in a nutshell. So you start from the audience, you don't forget about the context and not just the design itself, but also the before and the after. It's a great way to teach designers that business side matters, right? What your goal was originally.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing, because these are the skills that designers are tested against. This is what they're expected to be able to solve in the top companies. So maybe even if you're going to a company that is like not thinking much about hiring designer with a very business-oriented mindset, all of these things will give you extra points. Like once a product manager or VP of design or like someone who is interviewing you will see that you're actually taking all these things into consideration, even if they don't require that, the fact that you're thinking about them, it will just give you so many extra points and increase your chances to get hired.
Thanks so much for sharing your advice here. This is super actionable for anyone who is getting ready for an interview. Where can people find more of what you do online, your books, the newsletter, social media?
Sure. So I am on the web. So people can just write my second name, Dashinsky with I at the end .com. And it has all the links to my projects, to my books, to all the resources that also were mentioned here on the podcast.
Fantastic. Thanks so much and have a wonderful rest of your week.
You too. Thank you.